Welcome into another edition of the Talking Puck Podcast. Tom Callahan about to be joined by Mike Haynes here, and we are going to take a midweek look at the Stanley Cup playoffs. That's right. All of the series are still going except Colorado-Nashville, which is over. So Mike and I will drop some analysis on you here. We'll even take a look at that Colorado-Nashville series as well, and we'll take a look at the East and the West. So stay tuned. We've got plenty of great hockey talk coming your way in just a moment. The Talking Puck Podcast starts right now. Hello, everyone. Welcome in once again to the Talking Puck Podcast. Tom Callahan, Mike Haynes here with you on this Wednesday edition of the TPP. We're going to talk East and West, what's going on in the playoffs right now as we are on top of things. Mike, we've had one team eliminated. It's the Nashville Predators. The West, actually both conferences, I think, are very interesting right now because they are so close. All these series are close. Not that you expect teams to go into the playoffs and just flame out. But in looking at these, and we can start in the East, really the only team with a stranglehold on its series is Pittsburgh with a 3-1 lead on the Rangers. Other than that, we have had an incredibly competitive, not that the Rangers haven't been competitive, we'll talk about that in a minute, but I mean, just 3-2, 2-2 everywhere. We're going to at least six games in most of these. It's been a pretty darn good first round.
Been really good. And just exactly how the NHL scripted it. They want the teams to be equal. They want the fans to feel that their team's got a chance, and everybody except in Nashville, their fans feel that.
Yeah.
they've got a shot. And not only that, Tom, but I think, you can look technically, especially if you're looking at second and third positioning in divisions, that there are technically going to be some upsets here, where it looks like that could possibly happen. And we may not even have what I had thought was going to be the true Stanley Cup final in Tampa Bay against Florida. There's no guarantee that's going to happen. Pittsburgh has kept themselves alive. Toronto fans must be going out of their mind right now. And Tampa Bay, have they run out of gas? That's the big question there in the East. And Carolina is really good. I mean, Boston's a, they've got some old guys that just don't want to quit, don't know how to quit. And they're going to give them everything they got. But even without Anderson, that Carolina team's good. They're just a good, good team.
I think that's a great place to start, actually. Let's start with Carolina-Boston, because we saw a shift for Boston to win that second game of the series in Game 4. They went back to the put-all-your-eggs-in-one-basket maneuver. You know, they reunited that big three, Marchand, Pasternak, and Bergeron, and they put them back together in that top line, and it worked. But then if you keep them together, now Carolina knows they only have to shut down one line, really. Because the whole point of having them split up was to distribute scoring. And then Carolina comes out and they win Game 5. And they look really, really good doing it. We talked last week, we thought Boston looked a little tired, a little old. Well, then they bounced back with some great energy at home, I thought. They look very good on home ice, but it's just not the same on the road for those guys. And so I have to wonder now, with your back against a wall in a Game 6, what are you going to get out of the Bruins?
Well, some of that is just good line matchups too. That's just smart coaching by Carolina, as you said. You put your good guys on one line if you can shut them down, and then when you're at home, like Carolina was in Game 5, you can get your matchup that you want. And then that was part of the reason they won. Carolina's a better team. They're just overall a better team than Boston. But you got to give Boston some credit. They've got enough guys on there. They've been around long enough and have paddled through some good playoff series before. They're not just gonna lay down and be run over by Carolina. But I think it's pretty clear Carolina is the better team. What is your sense of what's happening with Anderson? What's going on there? I mean, you're winning, and you've got a chance to close this thing out, but what's happening with Anderson, their goaltender?
Wow, and, it's interesting to see. Of course, the NHL is very cloak and dagger with their injuries, and maybe you're not a longtime hockey fan, and maybe you're a big NFL fan where there's total disclosure all the time, and you get fined if you don't tell people what's going on. In the NHL, no. You tell people it's a foot when it's a shoulder. It just, right. You misdirect as much as you can. I think Carolina is downplaying it right now to the point where they're saying focus on the series against Boston. To me, I'm wondering if it's a little longer term than we've been led to believe, Mike, because we're not hearing as much. Now, look, and we're even getting updates. Tristan Jarry was on the ice today, finally skating with the Penguins. Now, there's no need for Pittsburgh to rush him back. They're up 3-1 on the Rangers. I think if he's not 100% or close to it, you run Louis Domingue back out there. I mean, surprisingly, Domingue has stepped in as a third-string goaltender and done a tremendous job. And you know what? Antti Raanta's no slouch. We've seen him carry the load for teams before, the Rangers and the Coyotes. And in fact, with the Coyotes, Darcy Kuemper would get hurt, go out for a substantial amount of time. Raanta showed that he was not only capable but could win. The problem is Raanta also got hurt. Which happened to him again earlier in this series for a little while. We were all a little, you know, worried for Carolina. He's back now, appears to be healthy. I think that's kind of what Carolina is doing. It's a little bit of misdirection right now and not saying anything, but that to me is concerning. I think most teams this time of year trumpet when a guy's getting ready to come back. So I don't know. Anderson, big question mark.
Yeah, and boy, he had some big numbers this year. He was really, really good and playing for a very good team. It helped him, obviously, but, you know, you just kept reading and hearing before the series started. Well, he, you know what? He's going to miss game one. And I thought, okay, all right, you know, he'll be back game two, game three at the most. But but they are winning, and that's where having that second goaltender, and in Carolina's case, having a third, but having that second goaltender who can get in there and play, that makes a huge difference. But it looks like, you know what? Boston will give them a game. Boston will give them a game. It'll be tough, but I think Carolina is the better team. They should move on. And as a number one, they should move on. And I think they will. But it's first in their division. But you know, that one I think should be over in six, although Boston will give a decent game. But everything, to me, everything else is really up in the air. Pittsburgh's more of a surprise than I thought. Toronto is more of a surprise. And Florida was fortunate to win their last game in overtime. They'd be down in that series right now. That was a huge win for that team. I mean, that really could have change things, and Washington went out a huge amount of momentum. But I think Florida, if they can weather through this series and learn something about winning, especially winning in overtime like they did, that's going to help them. And if you're Florida, you're concentrating on what's going on in your series, because you got your hands full with Washington, got your hands full there trying to get through this series. But you got to believe they're keeping the corner of their eye on that. I have to believe Florida's going, come on, Toronto. Come on, Toronto.
Yeah.
Right? Don't you think?
Yeah. You know, it's kind of funny. I remember this line, Mike, when I was playing Beer League years ago. One of the older guys on my team was talking about how they beat a team of these kids who are much faster, much better players. And he said, age and treachery will overcome youth and exuberance. Meaning they just hooked and held the crap out of these kids, and they didn't call a lot of penalties, and, you know, they just slowed them down. When I look at Florida, I am reminded of that. Age and treachery can overcome youth and exuberance. There are times Florida, especially on the road, has looked young. They've looked inexperienced. They've made some mistakes that they probably didn't make during the regular season. But we talk about some teams get into this time of year that are too young to know any better, and they just succeed in spite of themselves. But there's the opposite side of that coin, where those teams get into the playoffs and then they start to feel human. And I'm kind of wondering if that's not what's happening with Florida just a little bit here. I have no issue with the play of Sergei Bobrovsky. I think he's been fine. I don't think that it's necessarily a systemic thing with Florida. They don't need to change anything up as far as X's and O's. I just think that Washington at times has had the veteran savvy and the playoff knowledge that has helped them, especially in the tight games. Now, Florida winning the OT, as you point out, was huge. Absolutely huge for Florida. But now it's a big game five for the Panthers. And this is, you know, I can call this a must win. for Florida because I don't think they win a game six in Washington. So I think they've got to win game five at home. And if they don't, Washington could close this out in six. This is a huge game for them. And then Toronto, if you're Tampa Bay right now, you take solace in the fact that you shot yourself in the foot and lost that game. Not one, but two. Too many men on the ice penalties. Mm. Totally handed the momentum back to Toronto. They took advantage of it. You know, credit the Leafs because that was a fun game to watch. I was enjoying that one quite a bit. So much back and forth. So many just energy and momentum swings in that game. But then Toronto started feeling itself. And I think the frightening thing about that, if you're Tampa Bay, is now, whereas Tampa Bay has the pedigree, Toronto might be feeling itself a little. Auston Matthews might be looking in the mirror going, you know what, we can do this. Mitch Marner, you know, these guys are looking in the mirror, we can do this. And we just showed we can. And they need to win one of the next two against Tampa Bay, which they've already proven they can find ways to win against this team. So, I don't know. That bracket right there could get awful interesting. Nobody picked Toronto, Washington in the next round. Nobody.
No, absolutely not. Now, the one thing, though, for Toronto is they're going up against the goalie with the best record when it comes to, you know, the closeout games.
Right.
He Vasilevsky. But they've also, Toronto's also got to feel like we can score on him. We can score on Vasilevsky.
Sure.
They proved they can. But Vasilevsky's got the pedigree in terms of when the games are on the line, he's the best in the NHL in the playoffs right now. There's nobody better the last 2 years when the game had to be won, when the series was on the line, who was better? But as Tampa Bay, I just think you can only play so many big games before you just can't do it anymore. And it might just be Toronto's time. It might just be their time. But the one thing is Vasilevsky, he just, I mean, it's, you know, you don't just say it because you see it. It's a fact. He's the best in the NHL when the playoff games are on the line the last 2 years. So I wouldn't count out Tampa Bay yet. I wouldn't be shocked at all if we're looking at game seven. Not at all. But yeah. Toronto has home ice. They finished ahead of Tampa Bay. So that play, can you imagine, another game seven situation for Toronto in the first round? That place, but they'll have the home ice. And that place, oh my goodness, that place would be rocking. But it's the two things. I think it's Vasilevsky's confidence, his team's confidence in him, and the fact that these guys have been through some tough series for the last 2 years. But Toronto has to know we can score on this guy.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And that's confidence is everything this time of year. Mm-hmm. If you have it, brilliant. If you don't have it, you better find it. So that's, I love looking at those series, and I do want to kind of round back over to Pittsburgh there. I did mention Tristan Jarry skating, but you know what, for New York, how much does it get in your head, Mike? And you know, you've been with playoff teams on a run. I've been with playoff teams on a run where you have a goaltender you figure you should beat, you know, and nothing against Louis Domingue, but he's a third string guy for a reason. How much is it getting in the heads of the Rangers right now, who scored seemingly at will in the regular season, that they just can't find enough goals?
You can't, you just can't even believe it. It's all you talk about too, around teams like that. That's all you're thinking about. You get up in the morning, you go, I can't believe I didn't score last night. Can't believe I didn't score. You're driving to practice. Let's work on this. We gotta score. That's constant talk. And it starts to get in your head. It does. You just can't believe that this guy, you can't score on this guy. Now, I just think as time goes on, Tom, I'm a big believer in this. You are who you are. You are Louis Domingue you're a third string goalie in the National Hockey League. You just have to make it last long enough. You can't believe that this guy can keep doing this. You are who you are. And I mean, the Rangers, they're probably not going to win this, I don't think. But I can see them winning the next game, getting at least a game six.
And they've got to feel, they go, wait a minute, we've got the better goalie here. Our goalie's better than him. Why are we not winning? And if they can just get to Louis, you know, early and start scoring, get their confidence back. But if he just continues to stone them, you know what, then maybe it is over. I just think the Rangers are too good a team not to get to at least game six. I'd really be surprised.
I feel like defensively the Rangers have not had a great series. Pittsburgh's been getting not only pucks to the net, but rebounds. Guys are disappearing in coverage. It's kind of funny to hear a lot of the analysts, either American or Canadian broadcast, saying, wow, he kind of got lost in coverage there. Wow, they lost him. Wow, how many times can you lose a guy? You know, you got to keep your head on a swivel, but there's Jake Guentzel again, backdoor, putting home a rebound. So, man, here's the other thing. I will say this. If the Rangers beat Louis Domingue and force game six, if Tristan Jarry is near healthy, I think that that's where you have to start him. I don't think you could drop Jarry in for a deciding game seven. I think he needs the benefit of game six if he's ready to go.
In that way, if it doesn't go great, you still got him again for game seven. Is that what you're saying? So you can get two games out of him. But to me, the Rangers, they've got to have a really good first period. They got to come out. They got to get some goals. They got to get a lead. And then their goalie's got to get good. Got to get off to a good start. Confidence is a funny thing, as we talked about. Pittsburgh's feeling it right now. They're looking good, and the Rangers are shaking their heads. But I'll stress this. You are playing against a third-string goaltender. At some point, he will be who he is, and you just have to hope that it comes early in that game if you're a Ranger fan.
Yeah, and the Penguins are doing everything they can to help him out, but he still made some pretty good saves. I can't take anything away from, like I said earlier, but you're right. He is the third-string guy. And it's amazing that we've seen a couple of third stringers. Carolina, Pittsburgh's been down to their third string. I mean, it just, that's
Nashville went to their third
string. Yeah, Nashville went to their third string, right? Which we'll talk about here on the other side of the break coming up. And it's just, it's crazy to watch these teams go through what they go through in the playoffs and how they survive if they survive.
All right. Well, tell me how you think. Let's take a look at each of the series. I don't want you to have to predict how the series is going to end up, but just as we, record this. How do you think things are going to go next in the series? Do you think is Pittsburgh able to close it out? Rangers push it, and then take me around the other series in the East.
Yeah, well, Rangers have to do something again. They're going home for Game Five here, so this two must wins in my opinion. Obviously, the Rangers must win or they go home, and Florida's a must win, even though that series is 2-2. Because I just don't think they win in Washington, but. Right now, looking at that, I think Pittsburgh, honestly, I don't think the Rangers have gotten as much of a home ice advantage as we thought they would. I don't know that they get to game six. So I'll say that much. And then I look at the Panthers. They do play much better at home. They have the benefit of the lineup matching. I think they do force that game six and they take the 3-2 lead in the series. That'll eventually get around to forcing that pivotal game seven. But Toronto. And I like how they look. I like most of all that Austin Matthews is fired up, is feeling it, feeling pretty good right now, and he's just pulling everyone along with him. You know, he's the comet picking up all the other pieces of the Leafs franchise, and they're all just in his tail. But man, that's a lot of momentum. That I can't wait. That's actually probably now my favorite series is Tampa Toronto in the East to watch.
You know what? I think Tampa Bay's just got one more. I don't know if they can win game seven in Toronto, but I think they've just got too much pride. I think Vasilevsky's too good when the games are on the line. I just think they've won too many big games. I don't know if they can continue to do it round after round if they advance, but I just think they've still got enough left. I think you're looking at game seven in that series. I just can't imagine Tampa Bay doesn't go down just kicking and screaming. That'll be a really tough win for Toronto to close that out against a two-time defending champs. I think that's too much for me. I think that series
That series goes the distance. I don't think many people thought that. I thought that I don't think people predicted seven games for that series. Others in the East, maybe. I don't think people. I don't. I know you thought Washington was a good was going to upset. I just didn't think that it was going to be this close or this hard fought for Florida. Other than they are just learning how to play in the playoffs, and this might be really good for them. If they can get through this, find out how you battle to win games, it might forebode into the some things that are coming, because that is that's a nice way to have to learn, especially in the first round, and not just cruise through things. So I think out of all the series, the next one I'm watching, I think I'm with you. I'm going to watch that Toronto Tampa game and just see if Tampa Bay's got anything left for them, and I think they do.
Yeah, that's going to be, I think, Florida, Washington, and Tampa, Toronto probably go to seven. Just please, NHL, don't put those game sevens on the same night.
I know.
Right? Just please schedule it so we can watch it separately. All right, well, that's a good look at the Eastern Conference for us right now. Mike and I, let's take a quick break. We'll come back, and we will talk about the Western Conference playoff matchups on the other side. We'll be right back with more Talking Puck Podcast. You know, here at Talking Puck, we generate a lot of media on different platforms. Open Media's 4K download suite makes my life a lot easier, and it can help you too. Whether you need to download audio clips, convert streams to audio, which we do a lot of here, creating slideshows, or even need help with your social media accounts like Instagram and TikTok, there's something for everyone, from casual user to pro. Use our special link, bit.ly/4kpuck. That's bit.ly/4kpuck to receive a special discount of 25% off your purchase. That's bit.ly/4kpuck. Talking Puck is now on Signal to Noise Radio every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. Signal to Noise is one of the fastest growing internet radio stations, and now they have merch. Help spread the word about Signal to Noise Radio with t-shirts, stickers, keychains, and more. Shipping is direct and free. $25 gets you a t-shirt, while keychains and swag packs start at just $7. Order today at stnradio.com/merch. And thanks for your support. Now, back to the show. All right, we're back in the second half of our Talking Puck podcast here. Midweek, I guess, playoff evaluation. We're looking at all the series. We're moving to the Western Conference now. By the way, if you like what you're hearing, please like, follow, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you do get your podcasts. We appreciate it. And don't forget, Mike and I are live on Sunday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern time, with Talking Puck TV. You can find us live on Twitch, on YouTube, and on Facebook Live. So just look for Talking Puck TV. Mike, we've already got one series over, so I suppose we could start with the postmortem, perhaps, on Colorado-Nashville. And I wanted to throw this comment at you and get your response. I heard, and everybody has their own take on a series, right? But one of the national media said, there's no shame in Nashville being swept by Colorado. Do you agree?
No, I don't. You make it to the playoffs, you should be ashamed if you get swept. You're one of the top teams in the NHL. You shouldn't get the teams are so now. There are teams that are certainly better than others, but it's so equal now in the National Hockey League. There are so few phenomenal teams anymore. It just doesn't happen that if you're Nashville. I think you lost your goaltender right before the series started. That really hurt them. And the other thing is, their chance for at least respectability was game two in overtime. They win that game, they've tied it, and then they're going home. And by losing that, the series was over, I thought. And I just think you look at Guy Johansson, Duchesne, Forsberg, but especially Duchesne and Johansson. Man, you're paying them a lot of money to produce. And they didn't. They didn't. They simply did not produce. And is there anything positive for you looking at Nashville going forward? I know you said, I think it was Sunday, you said if they lose or get swept, that they just can, they need to completely blow up this team and start over again.
Yeah, I think it is of that time for Nashville, because as you mentioned, you are paying a lot of money for Duchesne and Johansson to produce, and they actually had good regular seasons, but you don't win anything in the regular season. And this is the first probably good regular season that they've had in a while where you as a Predators fan finally feel like the contract is justified. The other thing is Philip Forsberg's due for a payday this summer. I could see him looking around and maybe seeing what else is out there. The thing is, with the kind of money he's going to be seeking, I don't know who else can afford it that's anywhere near contender status. So I feel like after he may go test the market. So Nashville fans, if you're listening to this, don't be surprised if he doesn't necessarily sign right away. Now he might already know that this is the best place for him as far as, you know, contract versus winning balance. Cause a lot of these teams just don't have the cap room to sign a big contract right now. So we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, Mike, I think it's time not only to kind of deconstruct it and start looking around, but I don't know if you can offload, you know, a lot of money if you're Nashville, but they probably need, and I've been saying this for a long time, they need more depth on defense. You know, it's been the Roman Yossi show for a long time, really since the Weber Suter era. I just feel like they need more mid 3-4 depth. You know, they I'm not worried about the 5-6 pair, but they just need a stronger 3-4. You know, Matthias Ekholm's good. I like him. Maybe you keep him in the middle there, but they need that. And they also do need to spend the money wisely on guys who will impact the score sheet. I'd rather have, you know, 5 or 6 20 goal scorers than putting all my money on a guy who once scored 40, you know, and I because he only did it one time. Positive takeaways for the Predators out of this, I will say at least Connor Ingram looked pretty good, and I feel like the plan is and will be Ingram next year is the backup to UC Saros. Kind of stinks that Saros got hurt. I don't think he would have changed the series. Although Nashville did play really, really well and competitive against Colorado at times, I just don't think that wins you a series against Colorado. And again, I mean, you know, we talked about Riddick and his struggles. No need to really beat that horse. And John Hines, does he stay? I don't know. Now I know there's people already banging the drum for Barry Trotz back to Nashville. And we can talk about Trotz in another podcast. But I honestly don't know if that is even really a fit. But I also don't know if John Hines is a fit for this Predators team. I don't know that he coaches a style that's conducive to winning in the playoffs. So, and again, they kind of, I don't want to say backed into the playoffs, but they were falling down the stretch and just stayed afloat long enough while Vegas basically imploded.
Right. No, they were fortunate, you know, that Vegas turned so bad that they got in. I was just laughing to myself when you're talking about Forge, but I go, well, Vegas could make room.
Oh yeah.
They get long term IR 6 more guys who aren't really hurt. Yeah, I'm sure.
Right. Oh my goodness. Oh, and that I also was laughing too. We'll talk about it another time, but I was just, I mean, every time I think of Vegas, I always think of Buffalo fans, and Buffalo ended up with some more draft choices thanks to the lottery again. Thank you, Vegas.
So, no kidding. So Buffalo now is ninth and 16th.
Right.
Ninth and 16th. Yeah, Sabres fans are pretty excited about that.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. We'll talk about that another time. But anyway, that was the only series that was a sweep. And so we'll see if that is good or bad news. If you cruise through a series, does that not get you ready? Or does the rest help you in round two? Because coming up, will it be Minnesota or St. Louis? And last time we talked on Sunday night on our TV show, we both agreed that Talbot should get the start in game 5. Boy, they just made a decision. Fleury, they were going to live and die on that, on Fleury, weren't they? Minnesota.
I thought that, like we said, that would have been the game, but, you know, they did go with Fleury, and now Jordan Binnington is in and playing well for St. Louis. Here's what I don't understand, Mike. I can't remember a series, and actually playoffs in general, because it's kind of gone this way both ways, where series are close, 2-2, 3-2, but the wins are blowouts either way.
I know. It's really weird.
It is strange.
They're not 2-1 games. Right.
No, yeah. We're talking 5-1, 5-2. We saw that Carolina-Boston. We're seeing that, as, you know, St. Louis-Minnesota. I never would have thought that. Would have thought that. Yet here we are.
Yeah, no, I thought we would be seeing 2-1, 3-2 games at the most. I thought they would just be battles. I thought we'd be seeing at least a couple of over. If in five games, I thought we'd at least see two overtime games. It's just not the case. It's very odd. But wow, you're Minnesota. And St. Louis is doing this, as you pointed out. They lost some defensemen. How does St. Louis have the lead? Has Fleury lost it? Is Minnesota just not that good? Is St. Louis finding a rebirth of their core that got to the Stanley Cup 3 years ago? What do you think's going on with St. Louis?
I think, number one, Binnington has played well enough to calm people, and even when they do make mistakes on the defensive end, he's giving them the timely saves. You know, that's all you can ask of a goalie in the playoffs.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But St. Louis offensively, Mike, I look at this team and I feel like, when you talk about Tarasenko and even like O'Reilly, but David Perron is having a huge series. Like, there's a lot of guys I'm looking at up front on this Blues team who just are playing well. And in a way, that's, and please don't confuse Colorado with St. Louis, but that's what Colorado did so well, was possess the puck, and it made their defensive numbers really good. Why? Because it's real hard for the other team to score when you've got the puck. That's what St. Louis is doing. And Minnesota, for whatever reason, has just not, they've not won the little battles to me. They're not winning the puck battles. They're not getting out of their own zone smoothly and exiting. And they're also not maintaining possession in the offensive zone. St. Louis is outworking them, is really what it comes down to, which you would expect from a Craig Berube team. That to me is the difference. I think St. Louis's effort level is just a little bit higher. The compete's a little bit higher. And again, veteran, we've won a cup team versus we're building, still coming together. Bill Guerin is doing a great job with this team, and they had a great regular season, but they haven't had the coalescence of a long playoff run. Outside of Kaprizov, who's looked fantastic, I don't know that anyone else has elevated their game to a playoff level yet.
Yeah. No, you're right. That is a young team that's learning, but as has been well documented, they don't have the time because of those contracts that are looming, that, you know, that they're going to have to take on. Their money situation is not going to be good for building higher and higher in Minnesota. They're in a tough spot because of their buyouts. And you also, not that you gave up a lot, but I think by bringing Fleury in, I think you raised your fan level to like, ooh, maybe, you know what, they're going for it. This will be exciting. And boy, if you come back with, I don't know if you can throw Talbot in there for the,
I don't think you can anymore. I don't think you can.
That was your window right there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
To play him in game five. And, you know, like you said, play him at home. Now, if you played him, he's going into a hostile environment. And with the series on the line, that's asking a lot for a guy who you wonder where he is mentally after the really, truly. I mean, you can say the right things when a trade is made like that. But when a trade is made like that, Tom, what you're saying to him is, we don't believe in you. You know, that's really what you're saying without saying it. You know what I mean? It's like, we're good and you're good, but we need to be better. And we think this guy is better. So you have to have some kind of mental awareness and just hardness where, if you were put into that position, like, I'll show them something. I don't know. Goaltenders, as you know, can be a little fragile. They can go one way or another, you know. I don't know Talbot well enough to know how he would react to being put in there in a game six, whether that is just something that he would love or it's just, or he's just,
hasn't played, feels a little defeated, and you're just throwing him to the wolves in game six. They're in a tough situation because Fleury is not, he's played all five games, and now you're down by a game. It's not a good situation for Minnesota. And for St. Louis, though, if they are, for them, you can understand this. They're looking at their next opponent are home, lounging around and relaxing and resting. They've got to feel that we got to close this thing out in six. We got to be done with this. And so that, because the team we're facing next is good, and they're resting right now. We cannot, for reasons of, it's easy to something go wrong, you lose game seven, but also we don't need another game, more travel, blah, 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 everything that they, more a possibility of more injuries. Let's win this thing. Let's move on to the next opponent and hope that some of those defensemen that have been missing, I don't think we're going to see Krug again, but maybe you get somebody back and it can help you in the next round if you can win. But don't you think it's two completely different mindsets going into this game six?
Yeah, St. Louis, you do have to close it out because you do need some rest to try to get those guys back in the lineup and even to get your guys who are healthy some rest because everybody has bumps and bruises this time of year. That said, you're going into a tough building to win a game. They're at home. They're at home for game six. So really, the impetus is on you to close it out at home, which great atmosphere in St. Louis. Tremendous building, great fans. I agree with that, Mike. Because if Minnesota wins in St. Louis, going home for a game seven, that's a tough ask because you have a team now with the confidence of a road win in a tough building heading back in front of their fans. Plus, if Fleury wins that game six, and Fleury's not quite Vasilevsky when it comes to closeout games, but he does have a little something extra in a bucket. That he has for big games, and they're going to need it in game six.
Yeah, they'll need it for sure. So that's it. So that's what's happening in the Central. Over in the Pacific, to me, both series are surprises to me. Really, I thought after game one with LA and Edmonton, I still thought, all right, Edmonton, if they can get rolling, and then they won the next two. Right. And they chase quick out of there. And I thought, all right, Edmonton's got it going now. What happened, Tom? How did they let that series slip away from them?
So it's interesting. And again, this is LA. I watched them, Mike, in the regular season, and they didn't do anything that jumped out at me. I didn't look at LA at any point and go, oh, that's how they're winning all these games. They just play hockey. And somehow at the end of the night, you look up at the scoreboard and they won. But maybe that's their magic, right? This is a team, the superstars are aged. Jonathan Quick has been better and is better than Mike Smith in this series. And that's just the way it is. So, I know a lot of people were pointing out all these fancy stats, and this is where fancy stats versus the eyeball test, Mike. Here, let me hop on my soapbox. It's all about the eyeball test for me. You can bring me any numbers you want. I actually worked in sales for a long time, people. I know you can sell anything you want based on numbers. I know how it works. So don't tell me that because Mike Smith has, I think it is like a 7.7 goal saved over expected, or because, he was carrying a 930-something save percentage. I don't care. Did he stop enough shots for Edmonton to win in game five? The answer is no. And if you look at some of the goals that went in, Mike, I don't think they were good goals. He has to give them that save. That's the difference. So let's pick another series. Let's pick the Penguins. What is Louis Domingue doing? Giving the Penguins enough saves at the right time. They don't have to be spectacular. They don't have to. He does not have to, randomly baseball bat one out of the air. But if the puck's coming towards the net, he's doing a great job of getting in front of it. And Smith is not doing that for the Oilers. That is a big reason. I still don't think Edmonton's defense is good enough. They play better defensive hockey. They're not good enough on defense. And here's another interesting point that was brought up. And actually, Zig Fercassi, who guest hosted for you a couple weeks ago on the show, he's the one who brought this up. He said, talking about Edmonton and Draisaitl and McDavid. And we've brought this up too. And it's interesting that other people are starting to have this conversation, Mike. What I'm saying is you and I are ahead of the curve. Are they elevating the players around them on that team? I think they're trying to do a lot of it themselves. And in fact, in the third period the other night, they did a lot of it themselves. They were a big reason for the rally. But Mike, we've been talking about this for a long time. Are they making the players around them better? I don't know that they are.
Oh, boy. Well, and if they get knocked out, oh, boy, in the first round, whew, that'll be an interesting summer there in Edmonton for sure. Meanwhile, I got another series going on with Calgary, which I thought this was going to be a five-game series at the most. I thought Dallas might be able to wrestle one, but they're making it tough on Calgary, aren't they?
Let me ask you, Mike, how much of this, and we don't talk about him much, I try to bring his name up, but how much of this is Rick Bonus? How much of this is him implementing the right strategy to slow Calgary down? Now, mind you, the Flames broke through the other night in the third period, but, I mean, to this point in the series, you want to talk about games, I thought Calgary would just overpower Dallas, and they haven't.
No. And they're clearly, Calgary's the better team. But and they're both good coaches. I mean, they both are smart, been around long enough. You're not going to outfox the other one. But if you can get your guys, it's always interesting to me when coaches is Rick Bonus coaching to stop Calgary instead of getting his team going, in a sense. You know what I'm saying? That I don't think you can. I don't think ultimately you win that way. I don't think that it's if you're just coaching to slow down and stop the other team. I don't think that's how you win. Unless you just really feel your team is inferior to the other and you've got no other choice. Which Calgary's the better team, and I guess you credit Bonus for what he's doing, but I don't know how far you go with that kind of strategy. If every time you're playing, all you're trying to do is stop the other team. But I agree with you. He does a great job of it, and he certainly did job a couple of years ago when they got to the Stanley Cup Finals. But if do you think that they can stop them again, or do you think Calgary can move on in this series in relatively short amount of time?
I think Calgary kind of proved something to itself the other night when they did finally break through a little bit. Mm-hmm. They got the penalty shot goal because Jake Oettinger has played incredible, first of all. Yeah. You have to give him credit. He has looked fantastic. And the other thing is Dallas really has gotten the needed effort from the big-name veterans so far in this series. Mm-hmm. So that's been a big thing for them. But what they have to do now is not get desperate, not start to take those hooking and holding penalties where you feel like you're a half step behind the guy and now you're worried about. I worry about that mindset a little bit for Dallas because Calgary's younger, they're faster, they are more aggressive. As we said, they're offensively, on paper, they are a much better team. I worry about the Dallas mindset. If they can keep the puck in front of them, if they can keep playing that kind of game, I think Dallas has a chance to push this all the way to seven. But if Calgary carries that kind of feeling over from the other night and into game five, game six, I think Calgary can win the next two. But again, you know, goaltending, both goaltenders have been really good in this series. I think if you're asking me, Tom, who's got the better chance of becoming human once again, it's Oettinger just because he's younger. But, you know, stranger things have happened. But they're going to need, Dallas needs everyone playing at their absolute best to win a hockey game here in a difficult game five. But I guess, Mike, to answer your question, I do see Calgary winning the series. Can they win it in six? Absolutely. But man, Dallas is so hard to figure out. And I think that's what's frustrating about
them. Yeah. All right. Here's my question of the podcast for you.
Okay.
If you're Calgary, if you're again looking at number of the top seeds, all right, Calgary, Colorado, Florida, Carolina. Who, and this is just saying, obviously, three of the four are not absolutely locks. Who do they want to face in the second round?
Wow. I mean,
you start with Colorado, since that's already, they're in.
Yeah.
Who do you think they want to play?
Minnesota. I think Minnesota's the better matchup for them. I think St. Louis is a team that's going to knock them around, knock them off the puck. I just think they're that veteran team that can play physical and amp it up, and I don't think that'll be very good for Colorado. They could still beat them, mind you, but yeah, I think that's who they don't want to play. And then Calgary, I think Calgary probably doesn't want to play. Honestly, they probably don't want to play L.A.
Really?
I think they'd rather have Edmonton with home ice and, you know, Battle of Alberta. Everybody gets fired up. But I think that Calgary would do better against Edmonton because it would elevate their game. LA's hard, again, a hard team to figure out how to beat. Unless one of the goaltenders has a complete breakdown. If Jonathan Quick just absolutely blows a tire, you know, then or Mike Smith. Which could happen. You know, that's a different story.
Okay, and then you go over the East, and we're just surmising that if Florida as number one in that division, who do they want to play? I think they want to play Toronto. I think they'd rather get into a track meet. I think they'd rather get into a track meet with Toronto. And I think especially their game, Florida's game, is scoring goals. And I think they feel a little more comfortable trying to score on Campbell than Vasilevsky.
I think we've seen, even without Tom Wilson in the Capitals lineup, Washington's continued to play a physical game. Florida doesn't like to be hit.
No.
So I agree. I think Toronto is the type of skating team they match up well with. I think Tampa can be a little gritty and a little physical. From that perspective, I agree with you, Mike. Absolutely. And then, you know what? It's interesting to me. I still think Carolina doesn't want to see the Rangers, even though they're down 3-1 in that series to the Penguins. Pittsburgh is just, again, I kind of wonder about the age of the team. And if they get Jari back, it becomes a different equation. But right now, Louis Domingue's their goaltender. And I think Louis Domingue, at some point, if he has to keep playing, becomes a third-string goaltender. At one or two games in a series. So for that reason, I feel the Rangers are stronger. But, I mean, look, Pittsburgh's doing everything they can to win that one. And the Rangers have not performed to expectations.
No. I'm with you. I think that would be a good matchup for Carolina. I would rather see Pittsburgh in that second round if they get to that point. But, you know, out of those three, boy, I think that I'm trying to think of who has the biggest possibility of getting upset now. You might have swayed me on the Florida thing. I don't know. I didn't think so at first because that, I mean, you're the President's Trophy team, but Washington has made it very difficult. That still is a possibility. I mean, you tied it up you got that overtime win. That one doesn't go your way. Wow, you're in big trouble.
Yeah.
So they're not blowing them away. They're not just coming in there and, you know, and winning, you know, 6-1 games. They're not scoring like they were during the regular season. So that one's still ripe. I think Calgary's got enough to get by Dallas, and I think Carolina's just too good. Over at Boston, but the only one I think maybe that has a chance for the upset, and that would be the number one seed in the NHL, is Florida. All right, you've convinced me that is
there
right.
It is. There it is. All right, Mike, who goes to seven out of all the series that we've got right now? Since we're on Wednesday, and a couple of them could close tonight, but
absolutely, positively, Tampa, Toronto. I think Vasilevsky and that team will not get knocked out in the sixth game. I just think they've got too much pride, too much knowledge of how to win big games. And I'm not saying they can win the series, but I think that they've got enough left that they will force a game seven, especially they've got to win game six at home. I think you'll see Toronto and Tampa playing game seven. What about you?
I'm going to sweep with a broad brush and say the entire Western Conference. What's left? All of them are going seven.
Oh, my goodness.
Because they're just so back and forth. I just feel like, you know, St. Louis, Minnesota is actually the biggest crapshoot call of all of those. Calgary-Dallas has been such a close series. Those games can go either way. Of course, that's when, you know, in a deciding game six, something goes in off a guy's shin pad, and there's your upset. Oilers and Kings, it's been an oddly fascinating series. It's not the most entertaining series, although actually it was the other night at the end of the game. But if you've been watching on balance the five games, not the most entertaining hockey. It's been a lot of waiting and seeing what's going to happen. But I just feel like those two teams, they're so nip-tuck. LA can contain Edmonton, then Edmonton has its bursts. Man, it just that one's got the feel of going seven for me as well. So I'll take whatever I get for seven out of the East. And I do agree with you. I think Tampa does win that game six. But, man, I think the whole West going seven.
Wow. So you got one team sweeping and everybody else goes seven. That'll make it interesting in the second round for sure.
So, yeah, and you never know, Mike, if you're sitting at home too long.
I know.
There's rust.
That's always the problem. Yeah, there is that.
And also, you weren't tested. You really weren't tested. You know, playoffs sometimes, it's about learning how to fight through, learning how to win tough games, and that sometimes can come back to burn you if you're not going through that. Because that next round, that team has had to, especially if they go seven games, they've battled, and they're ready. They're ready for that next round as long as they stay healthy. The problem with going seven games is you open yourself up for more injuries. It's another opportunity for something. As hard as those games get played, somebody key could get hurt, and that could change the whole look of a series.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. All right, well, that's a great place to wrap up our Wednesday here. As we look ahead, only one series in the books, but by the time we get to our Sunday night Talking Puck TV, they could all be over. So we'll definitely have plenty to talk about. All right, well, thanks, everybody, for listening to the podcast. Again, please like, follow, and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Don't forget, Mike and I are live Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Twitch, on YouTube, and on Facebook Live. And if you ever miss the show on Sunday, shame on you, because we take your questions live. But if you do, and you want to hear a live replay, stnradio.com, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Monday nights. All right, well, that'll do it for this edition of the Talking Puck Podcast. Thanks for listening in, and we will talk to you again soon.